We are in a series here called the Worship Series, and I'm a former worship pastor, and I love music. My family is very musical. This is a blessed musical church, and God put in my heart, let's do a little reverse engineering. Usually, some people write songs based upon the Bible or a sermon series. Well, let's go the other way. Let's have a song, and let's write a message upon that. And so the worship team each selected some different songs that they like. And I kind of whittled it down. We have a Spotify playlist with all the songs. If you go to Grace Community Church, the worship series, you'll see all these songs. At the top are the songs that we are performing. But I want to hear from each of our worship team members, so we do a little interview, get to know them a little bit, and then we perform a song that is a favorite of theirs. And then we have a little message after it. I've burned up some time here, so I want to try to keep my message short if I can do that. So this morning, our guest is Will Huff. So welcome, Will, to the stage here this morning.
Well, if you're kind of new here, you know, you're looking at him and like, did I see this guy before? You know, he's the good-looking twin brother, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, right. I'm going to pay for that later. Yeah, beg to differ. The new wife. Sam is our worship leader, and Will's, they're twins sort of thing. You know, he got the golden pipes of singing, you know,
that is true.
And you got the golden good looks sort of thing.
Yeah,
they're twins. They look like each other. So if I'm complimenting him, I'm complimenting. Okay, all right. Already in trouble. So you're in the music. How'd you get into music?
Ah, gosh. I'll try to keep a long story short about how my family got into it. Really, we were the good homeschoolers that were like forced to play piano when we were little kids. Thanks, Mom, for that. And I did not like it because I couldn't read sheet music. So I got to pick an instrument that I don't have to read music. And when I was 10 years old, I actually got really sick with Lyme disease. And I was incredibly stubborn and needed to be bribed to take my medicine. And my aunt was like, I will buy you whatever you want. As long as you, like, if you take your medicine. I was like, I want a Corvette. She's like, no, pick something else. And it was my mom's idea, actually. She's like, Will, you've loved drums your entire life. Why don't you get, like, a starter kit or something? I'm like, okay, cool. So we looked online, got a cheap kit that I still play to this day because I'm cheap. And took lessons for a little while, got into the worship team here when I was 13. And I guess just been playing ever since.
Yeah. Is it helpful? A couple of musician brothers in the house? Do you guys play together and stuff?
Yes, we've played a lot together, especially when we were younger. We did like a talent show, I think, when we were probably 12 or something.
Yeah.
And jammed out in the basement for hours and hours, and then obviously got two more brothers up there that make me sound way better than I deserve. Matt up there with the sounds. Ben, keeping me in the right part of the song with the slides, so yeah, we got a good crew
a good
at the
crew.
House, and then my awesome wife, who in my opinion is the best singer in the church, unbiased, absolutely, but yeah, it's been...
I'm now learning to keep my mouth shut because I'm already in trouble, so... Yeah, that's you've been married for just over a year, or is it
just
coming up?
Under a year?
Just under
a
year.
August will be 1 year.
Yep, and you got a little one along
that
the way.
That's true. Yeah,
life is changing.
Yes, Hannah's already saying he's drumming.
He's drumming inside,
yeah.
Playing on that bladder most of the time. Right, that's I don't know how that rolls. So we've got a song here. I don't know how that rolls. I've never experienced that. My wife has, and.
You're doing great today.
I'm doing great, aren't I? You know,
welcome
one
back.
Week away, and my brain isn't functioning at all. So tell us about what's the song, who's it by, and tell us a little bit about the song that we're going to perform.
Yeah, so it's called 17 by an artist named Chris Rensma, who, if you have not heard any of his songs, I really encourage you
very
to
good.
Check him out. He's very good. And Sam actually sent me the song earlier this year and was like, dude, you got to check this out. It, like, explains, like, your life, like, so well. And I checked it out, and sure enough, like for those of you that don't know, when I was like a younger teenager, I actually really struggled with anxiety. And when you struggle with anxiety as a Christian, you kind of like hate yourself for it because you're like, I know that I shouldn't feel this way. Like, I know that I'm a child of God, but I don't stink and feel like one.
Mm-hmm.
And the self-doubt kicks in and a devil starts to work in your life. And you cry out to God just over and over again, like, God, please take this from me. And it might not be the first time that you cry out to God. It might be more like the thousandth,
right,
that you hear his voice. And he tells you that I know that you don't feel like it, but you are loved. My work's not through. And sure enough, his work was not through. I mean, now 20 years old.
You're old, boy.
Old.
17 was so long ago.
It was, yeah. But completely free of anxiety. Do not struggle with it at all. Completely off medication and everything.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord for that. Yeah. So when I listened to this song, I was like, the hope in this song of like the beginning of being like struggling with self-doubts and anxiety and depression and everything, to the bridge and the outro of the song where it's hearing the truth and hearing God's voice about how you're a child of God, which I think is just a really cool song.
Yeah.
How lyrically dynamic it is.
Yeah. So you're not much of a singer.
I am not. No. So like I spent. Thank you. I spent like so much time like, oh my gosh, it'd be so fun to like actually have a mic in front of you. And now that it's here, I'm like a dog that I would always chase a squirrel. And then like once they finally catch the squirrel, they have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I feel right now.
So we're inviting a guest that, you know, hopefully he'll forgive me. But we're going to invite Sam up here to help us with this song.
Yeah.
Just come on up.
I don't know why I came up here.
We're picking on you.
It's like being 17 all over again. Are you taller than me? What's... All right, let's try that.
Here I am confessing again, I know I've let you down. I've said it a thousand times, never again starts now. I've slept through so many days, I've wasted so much time. Can't solve it with a song, can't fix it with a rhyme. So I'll try to be honest with myself again, but I can feel just so uncomfortable in my skin. No, you told me that you love me, but I don't remember when. Oh, feel like I was so much wiser when I was 17. Saw the world in just two shades and standing in between. If the man I was back then saw who I am right now, wonder if he'd be disappointed in how we would turn out. So I tried. Stop listening to yourself so much. I made you more than worthy of my love. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's enough.
Lord, thank you so much for the hope that's found in you. Thank you that no matter the words of the enemy, no matter the self-doubt, the anxiety, that depression that has that grip on us, that through it all, it's just you. You're still our hope. You're still our joy. You're still our peace. Thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Give it up for these guys.
That's terrible. Where'd you get that idea, man? Heard it. All right, well, hallelujah. I'm enjoying this series. I hope you are. Just a little out of the ordinary, a little different. I love worship. I love messages. I love the lyrics. I better not set that on his box. So, as the name of the song is 17, imagine having a conversation with your 17-year-old self. Now, my son, that'd be pretty easy. He'd be just talking to himself. He's 17. Some of you are not quite yet 17, okay? But even there, you probably have thoughts of what are things going to be like when you're 17. But for those of you, you know, the old age of 20, as Will was saying, or many years beyond, imagine having a conversation with your 17-year-old self. How would that conversation go? Would your 17-year-old self be proud of who you've become? Would they look at you sideways and go, why are you still struggling with that same thing? Would they ask you, and would you be able to answer, have you accomplished anything with your life? How would that conversation go with your 17-year-old self? And I think we all have this conversation, maybe not with a 17-year-old, but we have this conversation all the time, and it's usually based in self-doubt. When we have our conversation, we look and assess where we're at. A lot of times it's self-doubt. We look at ourselves, and go, I'm no good. I'm nothing. I've accomplished nothing. And the lyrics that we sang there in the bridge, it said, child, stop listening to yourself so much. And I think that's true. I think there's times that we need to just stop listening to that voice in our head, listening to ourselves. But if you had these moments, these conversations, you're not alone. Others here have gone through this. I've gone through this. And I am blown away that a character in the Bible has struggled with this. Many characters have. But specifically, the Apostle Paul. In the New Testament church, after Jesus died, buried, resurrected, went back to heaven, there were like two main guys, Peter and Paul. These were the heads, these were the Billy Grahams of their time. And Paul struggled with this concept, this anxiety, this stress, this self-doubt, these conversations with yourself. And he's got a scripture that Will led me to, again, asking the worship team, so what scriptures come to mind with these songs? And we're going to be going to Romans chapter 7, one of my favorite scriptures, not because I understand it, but I can relate. And even going through the preparations of this, I still don't know if I fully understand it, but I read it, and as confusing as it is, I can go, yeah, that makes sense, that I can relate to that. But hopefully at the end of this, through the Apostle Paul, we can have some sort of conclusion of, so what do we do? What do we do with these seasons of our lives when we looked at ourselves and go, I'm a wreck, I'm a mess. What can we do? So we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 7, and just a lead-in to it. The first half of the chapter, he's dealing with an argument within the church, because the early church had Jews and had Gentiles. And the Jews are like, we still need the Bible. We still have to follow all the law of Moses. It's still valid. We can't throw the law out anymore. And the Gentiles are like, yeah, but we're not Jews. Why do we have to follow that? So there's this great argument. Is there any worth left in the law? And ultimately, Paul's going to say, don't throw it away. There's still value in that. So Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. Be reading out of the New Living Translation. Verse 14, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. So that's the foundation of his coming argument here, is that the law, the word, the rules, the Ten Commandments, it's good. It's spiritual and it's good. Don't overlook it. So there's still value to that. The second half, though, says, the trouble is with me. Repeat that after me. The trouble is with me. Okay, I don't know if you believe that yet. Let's try that again. The trouble is with me. Okay, let's try one more thing. Husbands, wives, look at each other and say, the trouble is with me. You see how much counseling I just saved you all? If you could figure that one out, say to each other, yeah, trouble's with me. Why? Why is Paul saying that? Because we are really good at blaming. We are really good at blaming our spouses, our kids, our parents, our bosses, blaming the devil, others. We blame our environment. We blame our president. But the trouble is with me. And it goes on to say, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. This is the Apostle Paul. If Billy Graham stood before us and said, I am a slave to sin, you'd be like, that doesn't make sense. How can that be? The Apostle Paul, how can he be a slave to sin? That doesn't make sense. Verse 15. I don't really understand myself. Husbands, wives, look at each other. I really don't understand myself. And your spouse is going to go, see, now we're on the same page. Paul doesn't, he's trying to figure this out. The Apostle Paul is trying to figure this out. He can't figure it out. He doesn't understand himself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Can anyone relate to that? Okay? Okay, all right. We're all on the same page here. What is that about? There's a person maybe you work with that you can't stand. You see their face, and you think it'll look better if your fist was in the middle of it, right? It just, you're someone who aggravates you. And yet in your head, you keep telling yourself, I got to be nice to them. I got to be nice to them. I got to be nice to that person. And then when you see them, you know, the arm just comes back and it's just ready to roll, okay? It's this, there's this thing within us that is hard to overcome, and we end up saying something that we shouldn't say. How about addictions? Yeah. Tobacco, drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, social media. We can be addicted to it, and we say to ourselves, all right, I should just stop. That's the right thing. I think if I didn't do this anymore, it would be better. And then what do? We go right back to it. We do what we hate. How about anger? I'm not going to be an angry person. I'm not going to lash out. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to slam doors. And what do? We do all that. And we look at ourselves and we go, ah, why? Why am I constantly battling this? Verse 16. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Okay, some of you might have to read that a couple times. You're like, all right, what does that mean? So the law says be nice to that person. Don't say mean things to that person. Don't punch them in the face. That's what the law says. That's what the Bible says. And we agree, like, yeah, I shouldn't do that. And then when we do it, we feel really bad. And so the fact that our conscience is agreeing with the Bible that I shouldn't do that and I feel bad, it proves that the word is true, that the word is good, that the law is good. Verse 17. So, this is Paul talking. I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Time out. Stop. Don't think anymore. Because some of you are going, ooh, blank check. All right. And you turn to your wife and you go, see, it's not me. It's the sin living in me, right? Nah, careful, careful. Two things. There's two things in you right now. One thing wants to do right, and one thing wants to do wrong. Good versus evil battle. You've probably heard the old proverb, everyone has two wolves living within you, one good and one evil. Which one will survive? The one that you feed. So what is in us? There's this battle, and most of the time, because it's so easy, we are feeding the side of sin. Because that voice is so much easier to listen to. It's so much more pleasurable, we believe, to listen to that voice of sin that is living in us. 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. And I'm glad that second part is in there, because I'm sure there was a season in Will's life where that's all he thought is, there's nothing, I'm no good, I'm worthless. Why am I struggling with this? There's nothing, I'm no good, I'm worthless. Tell me, is that what God speaks to us? Is that the voice of God? Is that, do you read that in the scripture where God says, you're no good, you're worthless? There's no value in you? That is not the word. Where is that voice coming from? That sinful nature, that sinful side. And we listen to it. And it said, you know, he went on, that is in my sinful nature. We have to stop listening to that voice. They don't come from God. The sinful nature, there is nothing good in it. Nothing at all. So we have to figure out how to get rid of that. How to stop listening to that voice. Going on, I want to do what is right. I love this part. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Again, can anyone relate? It's confusing, and yet you're like, yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm all over the place. There is a desire in us to flee from sin, but it is hard. It is so hard to get off and get away from that. It's hard to listen to the good voice, the Bible voice, the God voice. It takes time. It takes focus. It takes practice. But it seems like we always get in the perfect atmosphere to mess up again. It is so hard. 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Can't imagine how much water I have drank the last week. We were constantly drinking water, but hallelujah, it's not 100 degrees in here. So two stories from my trip. I speak little Spanish, okay? And when I go on trips, you know, I'm trying to activate that part of my brain of understanding. A couple of weeks before the trip, again, I knew we were going to Eagle Pass, and I was looking at a map. I was in my office, and across the way, Don would kept on saying where he was from. Of course, when someone speaks Spanish, it's like a machine gun. You know, it comes at you really, really quick. Piedras Negras. He'd say it really quick. And finally looking at a map, and I'm like, what is the name of this town that we're going to? Piedras Negras. So I was just looking at it. That was in my brain. And then a few days later, I'm looking at it again. I'm like, how do we get names of towns? Like Turtle Lake, you know, because there used to be lots of turtles going between the upper and lower and stuff like that. There's Eagle Pass, okay? Maybe there's like a valley or a mountain or a hill that there's a way through it, or maybe they're Philly fans. Sorry. You know, Philadelphia Eagles, never mind. So where does the name Piedras Negras come from? And so I'm looking at it with this little bit of a knowledge, and I'm looking at the word Negras. Well, it's black. Okay, it's black. And then I'm like, what do you name a town black for? It doesn't make sense. And I was still stuck. And again, a couple days later, I'm looking at Piedras, and I'm trying to figure this out. Now, a smart person would have pulled out his phone, right? Translate. Oh, okay, that makes sense. I didn't do that. Apparently, I'm not smart. Looking at Piedras. And while I'm not fluent in Spanish, you know, I have to know a little bit of language. As a pastor, as we look at Greek, as we look at Hebrew, there's a lot of words that kind of they match up or they make sense. So I'm looking at Piedras going, okay, what does that look like? And I came up with Pedro, which is Peter in Spanish. It looks like a name, Pedro. Piedras, Pedro. Well, that could be close. And Peter in the Bible, his name means pebble or stone. So stone black. And I was like, that's just weird. I'm wrong. So our first day there, we're out at a Whataburger. First time for Tyler to have a Whataburger. That was pretty good. I had an avocado one. It was delicious. And I asked Don, I said, so what's the economy around here? And he said, well, before I talk about Eagle Pass, let's talk about Piedras Negras. And he said, well, the main thing that happened many, many, many years ago is coal mining. And I went, Black Rock! And he's like, yes, Piedras Negras. And he's kind of looking at me like, why are you so excited? Because it finally made sense. That's the answer. It's coal. It took a while for me to focus and get through those words. It just didn't want to come to me where some of you probably know more Spanish. As soon as I said that, you were probably like, oh, he's talking about coal. You know, it might make sense to you. About 3 days in, we slept in kind of the entryway of our living quarters was the entryway of that theater. And I wanted to call my family. I think it was about 9:30. It was dark out. And since we're in the same place, I didn't want to go into the sanctuary, which was 95 degrees. But I felt bad that Tyler would have to sit there and hear a full conversation. Of course, he's better than me because I think the next day he had a conversation with his wife and he went to the warm place. Okay, so anyways, I'm getting distracted. So I went up by the main doors. I pulled the curtain back and I was looking down at the river having a conversation with my family. And I saw out of the corner of my eye across the street, a little lady comes out and she puts her trash in the trash bin. And she looks up, she looks down, and she looks at me again. I'm like, oh no. And she starts waddling across the street. And I'm like looking like, I don't see you, I don't see you. You know, you're not there. Because I'm like, oh, what's going to happen here? And so she comes in front of the glass door and she kind of waves like this. And I said to my family, I have my earbuds in. I'm like, just a second, guys. And I unlock the door and I open it up. And again, like a machine gun. You know, I knew it was coming. I knew Spanish was coming. And I was trying to prep myself. I'm going to listen. And then she went on and on and on and stopped. And I said, lo siento, no hablo español. Which I think is hilarious. To actually say, I'm sorry, I don't understand Spanish. In Spanish. Doesn't make any sense, right? I felt bad because I wanted to try to understand. And she paused, And then she slowed down and she started talking again and again. I tried to activate my ear to listen to her words. And all I heard was hermano. Out of all the words she said, I heard hermano, which is brother. And I was thinking maybe she's talking about Brother Don, the pastor. And again, I said, no comprehende. Again, speaking Spanish, saying I don't understand. You know, she must be like, oh, these people from Wisconsin, they don't make any sense. So she walked away, and I was frustrated. Because I know I can activate that part of my mind and my ears to comprehend, to understand. But it was so hard. And so the next day I'm chatting with Don and his wife Amy, and I said, oh, by the way, last night a lady came across the street. And I tried to understand, you know, I was feeling defeated. And the only word I picked up in everything she said was hermano. And he looks at his wife and he says, oh, I bet it's her brother who's supposed to be going to the hospital for this thing, blah, 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 blah. And they're having a conversation. They're like, oh, we need to go see her, blah, blah, blah. That one word was enough. But it was so hard. I wanted to hear everything else. Listening to that good voice in your mind is really hard. You have to focus. You see, our mind wants to speak English, but our spirit wants to speak something else. And we have to be conscious of that because we are failing constantly. We're listening to that sinful voice because it's so easy to understand. It makes so much sense. We just wish everyone would speak that language. And that's the war. And when we realize I can't understand, I'm not speaking what the Bible wants me to speak, we tend to think, well, I should just give up. Which is probably thoughts in a life of anxiety, as Will experiences, other experiences. Sometimes when you're in that point, self-reflection, you're like, why am I trying? I'm nothing, I'm worthless, and I'm not going to get any better. So what can we do? As Will said, he knew what to do, Christian family. He knew the Bible. And he would try, and he was try, but hearing that voice of doubt, hearing that voice of worthlessness can be overwhelming. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle in life. Again, Paul's talking. Young people, if an old person ever says, you know what I've learned? Listen, they're about to spare you 10 years of hardship if you listen to what someone who has experienced. Paul's saying, I've discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. This is Paul the apostle. He's supposed to have this perfected, and yet he's still doing wrong. Verse 22, I love God's law with all my heart. I believe that's true in here. You would not be here this morning if there wasn't a little thing in you that says, yeah, I think the Bible is a good thing to understand. And there's probably different levels of this love for the word, but I believe everyone here, we have that starting point that the good stuff is in the law. The good stuff is in the Bible. 23. But there is another power within me. It is at war with my mind. That's the battleground. That's the battlefield, is our mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, this is Paul. What a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Anyone here? Anyone? Have you ever prayed that? What good am I? I'm just a sinner. I'm sitting here in a church, and I shouldn't be a sinner. So what good am I? The Apostle Paul is saying that. If he said it, I believe that we can understand it. So right there is the cry, oh, what a miserable person I am. That is the cry for help. So what's the answer? 25. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And then he goes into chapter 8, and I encourage everyone this week, read chapter 8. It is my favorite chapter in the Bible. If you want the full answer of this argument that he set up, that I think everyone here is nodding their heads going, yeah, that's me right there. I'm a slave to sin, and it doesn't make sense. I shouldn't be, because I'm a Christian. You need a better answer, a bigger answer, go to chapter 8. But to wrap it up, four quick things, and then we will be done here. Number one, from our reading, just being a Christian, accepting Christ, doesn't make sin disappear. I think a lot of us have thought that either before we became a Christian or in our early walk that, well, as soon as I say, Jesus be Lord and Savior of my life, poof, everything's going to be perfect. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to have those temptations. That's not true. And you're not alone in this. Temptation is always there. Jesus Christ, who accepted Jesus Christ into his life, he was Jesus. Was he tempted? Absolutely. He was tempted. Jesus was. That means it's going to be there for all of us. And Paul says, I am a slave to sin. So just saying, Lord, come into my heart, that is valuable, most important, accepting Christ and his love. But it doesn't instantly make all those temptations disappear. The second thing, just knowing the rules, just knowing the Ten Commandments, having them memorized, understanding the law isn't the answer. In fact, I think sometimes it makes it worse. Because you read something in the Bible and go, I'm not supposed to do that? Man, I'm not supposed to do that? It almost gets worse. The more we read the Bible, the more we recognize how much we're messing up. And it can be deflating. Just knowing the law doesn't fix everything. It's important. It's valuable. Third thing, saying, but I can do this, right? Being determined. No. I'm not going to be tempted anymore. I'm going to make other choices. I'm going to say this instead of that. It doesn't work. You can be as determined as you want to do the right things. It doesn't work because you see that person that you're supposed to be nice to and you get upset right away. And it's just everything's out the window. You're frustrated. And then you feel worse. But the fourth thing, the final thought. There is hope. There is hope. That's what we have to fix our minds upon. I'll cheat. I'll give you a little bit of the first verse of chapter 8. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. We need to be in Jesus. And I feel like we're near Jesus a lot. But we need to be in him. Because when we're in Christ Jesus, things change. When we're in him, we're in his love. We're in his patience. We're in his goodness. We are in his arms. We need to be in him constantly. And yet, we're always stepping out, trying to do things. But ultimately, Jesus didn't come. He made a way. But he came to give us a gift. And I believe this is the answer of struggling with sin. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is the key to the life and to the struggle. The Holy Spirit. You can't determine to do good. You can't say to yourself, okay, tomorrow I'm going to see this person and I'm going to say good morning with a smile on my face. And then I'm going to compliment what they're wearing. And what happens that morning? The coffee pot doesn't work. You get a flat tire and, you know, and things are falling apart and you get to work and you see them and they're wearing this horrible outfit. How are you supposed to say good morning and compliment what they're wearing? You can't be determined to do good, but you know what you can be determined to do? Listen to the language of the Holy Spirit. Because this is completely different. This is a completely different life. How does that work? You sit there the night before and say, God, I'm going to see such and such tomorrow. God, how do you see her? How do you view her? Do you love her, God? Yes, I do. Do you have good things for her? Yes, I do. God, what do you want to do in your life? Well, I want to speak to her, but I need someone to speak on my behalf. And I'm choosing you. You see, you have that conversation with God, and now it's not a determination. It's listening to a different language. speaking Spanish because you can. And now you have in your heart, when you see them, you now see a child of God. And you see hope. And you see someone who needs to know about Jesus. And so then you go up to them and you say good morning because you see them differently. And they're like, well, what's good with the day? They give you that response that is supposed to send you spinning. And instead of responding, you go, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? It's not what you can think of. It's not determination. It's not taking this and say, you know what you need? You need the Bible. That's why I carry a big one. It is simply saying, Holy Spirit, you talk, not me, because I'm going to mess it up. Look at your husbands and wives. Look at your children. And say, I'm not going to speak from some lesson book, from some help self-help book. No, I'm going to speak what the Holy Spirit is speaking through me to them. And that's life. That's when the battle that's raging of good and evil starts going one way. It's not being determined. It's not knowing all the rules. It is simply stopping, turning off your brain because it's messed up and saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And you know what? It might just start with one word. All I heard was hermano. And it was enough for Don and Amy to understand. Sometimes all you have to hear is one word from God and to speak it. Because God will take care of the rest. Become, final thought, become the person, not the one your 17-year-old approves of, but what Christ approves of. Be more like Christ. Be in Christ. That's where we win this battle against sin. Let's pray. God, it is encouraging, I believe, to know that Christians, even as great as Paul, struggle with this sin thing. We're not alone. Lord, I think that can help us from derailing our thoughts and going down in that miserable life. But Lord, if we understand that we are to battle, we also need to learn how to battle. And Lord, that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray everyone here, Lord, this week does two things. Cracks open chapter 8 of Romans and are encouraged by the hope that is in Christ Jesus. But secondly, Lord, that they add into their prayer life, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? Lord, I believe that'll change our lives dramatically. When we start doubting ourselves, when we start feeling worthless, we say, Heavenly Father, how do you see me? Because, Lord, I think if we hear from you, it changes our heart, changes our attitude, because you love us dearly. And I pray, Lord, that we learn to be in Christ Jesus, because life is so much better there. And yes, the temptations are still going to be there. But when we respond through the voice of the Holy Spirit, we respond through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, life changes. And I believe we begin to live an abundant life, a good life. So help us, Lord. Help us in this battle to no longer just try to be determined to get through it, but to be led by you through whatever battles before us. Empower us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.